This is for Ches Teves, starting with Siman Amad Zayin Halacha Yud, and finishing Hilchos Tvila, and then starting Pasakum. Very interesting Shailas. Nagabe, what's called Pasakum, as we'll discuss all the way to Halacha Ches. So here we go. When it comes to Tvila's Kehilim, we're still finishing up Tvila's Kehilim. A person has to be careful when you're doing Tvila that the utensil itself should be clean. There shouldn't be any dirt residue, otherwise, it's a chatzitza. There's always a question when it comes to those stickers and utensils. If you're planning on keeping the sticker, it's not a problem. If you're taking it off, then you have to remove it. And if there's sticky stuff, you have to also get some type of cleanser that removes it, makes it easy to remove that, you know, the glue and everything else. Also, you have to immerse the utensil in one shot, all under the water. Now, if it has a handle, it has to be under the water together with the utensil. There's a big shiloh Moshe discusses when it comes to utensils that say that have electric parts. So here, there's more room to be lenient when it comes, as we mentioned, some anyway don't even require to immerse electric parts because they're going to destroy it. But even according to those that do, say that you could leave that part, like the plug, outside of the water. Someone that's immersing the utensil also has to make sure that his hand first wets his hand in the mikveh itself, and then holds the utensil loosely. So this way, again, there's no chatzitza between the fingers, his hands, and the actual utensil itself. The kids have discussed this actually when they used to tie a string. But this applies also to us. Sometimes you don't want to lose your items that are going to be immersed into the water. So you have to be careful that even the tie around the utensil is loose. When you are immersing utensils, that the opening is very narrow. You have to make sure that the water fills up. A lot of times you have this with bottles. And there's a big question when it comes to the bubbles. It seems to be according to the place game, and certainly Kitzur Shchunah seems to say that clear, you have to have the water touching inside and outside. So therefore you have to figure out how to make sure that the water fills up the utensil completely. When it comes to kids, can you have your kids immerse? So the answer is absolutely they could. They're just not trustworthy to tell you that they did. But if you were watching them immerse the utensil, they make the bracha, and it's 100% good. Shabbos and Yom Tov, the famous Shiloh, what do? You forgot, you have a new utensil on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the halacha is you can't immerse it on Yom Tov because it looks like you're fixing. So then this is the Rabbanan, but what do? You give it to Nanchu and you borrow like we learned earlier. Or there's another advice, and that is if it's a utensil that anyway you use to draw water, you could draw water and it looks like you're just drawing water. Now that obviously doesn't apply today now because it's clear that you're doing it for the purpose of fixing the kli. So the best option would be to lend it, to give it to a guy and then borrow from him temporarily. Simulam Chesiz Alochas at Pasakum, Bishalakum, and Chalavakum, famous Shilas. Here we go. Some of the very important and intricate Shilas when it comes to what's called Pasakum. So this comes from an Issur d'Rabbanan, not Issur d'Oraisa, meaning bread that's baked by a non-Jew. As long as you know that the kosher, the ingredients are kosher. I get the shayla sometimes actually from Morocco. People go to Morocco, it could be other countries. And there, you know, people are more friendly with the Arabs and they'll make bread. Now, halachically, there's two problems. There's shayla, the fact that you're eating bread that was baked by a non-Jew. But even more important, it could be an Issur d'Oraisa if they smear the ovens with butter, margarine, etc. like that. So that's all you need to know. And I've heard that in many places it's not a problem, but these are the type of things you have to watch out for. Now, besides that, there's an Issur d'Rabbanan that Chazal enacted in order to avoid what's called chasnus, to be end up marrying and getting too close to non-Jews. So they made an Issur and Gzeir d'Rabbanan not to eat from the bread of non-Jews that are baked by a non-Jew, because the bread is a staple, certainly used to be the staple of food, the main food, and it would create too much of a closeness. However, there's a distinction between what's called a nachtoim, which is a baker, because a baker is doing it for business. So that means even if a balabos, a regular non-Jew that lives next door to you, but he's doing it for business, that already becomes a business, and it's much less of a problem. There are more leniencies when it comes to buying from a business. I know there's a famous bagel store, I think, in New York City. I think OU gives a hashgach on it. And the point is that it's a question of nachtum, and therefore there's more room to be lenient, especially when you can't get the equivalent bread, type of bread. You could argue this is the best bagels. Now, the kitzur gives even a distance, a parsa. A parsa is 4 mil. That means to say that about 2.4 miles if a person has to travel, so that distance will give a person the leniency when it comes to pas nachta, and pas what's called pas palto, it's another name. But even when it comes to pas akum straight, there's also b'shasat chayv is what to be lenient with. It's interesting that Ariza actually says that one should always avoid these type of things, especially bishulak, etc., even when there's a heter. But this is a strict halacha. There are places to be meikol, especially when it comes to pas nachta. That's why pas akum, let's say commercialized, meaning bought in the store, is for sure you have less of a connection at all with the non-Jew, and that's where there's more room to be lenient. Now, the Kitzur teaches us that if a Jew throws in even one piece of wood into the oven to help with the fire, so then the bread is mutter. It's not considered pasakim anymore. Now this is really a hecker. What does it mean a hecker? It's not. It's a reminder. You're not even necessarily helping with the heat itself. And there's all these interesting discussions today. If even today they have a bulb, I think some of the kashrus organizations in Star Chaos are realizing it in certain situations, because they really it's a hecker. Hecker means a recognize and reminder. Also, Kitzur teaches us that the pasakim only applies to the five types of grains. But when it's called pas kidneys, let's say cornbread and stuff like that, is not included in pasakim. It's also not also because of what's called bishulakim. What bishulakim means? Bishulakim is a whole more complicated and actually more strict gzera. Something is cooked by an adri, you're not allowed to eat it. However, something that's not in the shulchan shemalachim, which means it's not served in the king's table, is not a problem. Now, this is also a concern of chasen with connection, but again, there's more strictness. The only big question is today, how do you judge these things? You need to use the president of the United States table? I hope not. But it's something kingly and respectful, and it changes based on the ages. Next, halacha is what also the kids discuss is when it comes to a bread that's smeared with eggs. So you're not allowed to have this bread that's smeared with egg made by a non-Jew because of the eggs. Because that part is considered bishulakim, which is interesting. Whole discussion of eggs has a shul din of bishulakim. We see clearly that it does from here. And there's another concern, like we already mentioned, when something is smeared with something that's forbidden. Pas Yisrael that was baked by a non-interesting shayla, pas Yisrael that was baked by a non-Jew, is actually worse than pas than bread that was baked by a non-Jew himself. Meaning to say, if you have already the dough and everything is yours, and you could have cooked it and baked it, meaning, but you gave it over to a non-Jew, that's actually worse. And we're not even machshir, we're not even lenient when it comes to just throwing in a piece of wood. By the way, by the Sfarad, they're much more strict with this. When it comes to, we'll discuss Bishul Akum. But in any case, when, the next halacha is also when it comes to something that's what's called, here's where we get into Bishul Akum. Something that's Nechal Kamoy Shulchai. Basically, there's two leniencies when it comes to Bishul Akum. Something that's eaten raw, so even if Nandro cooked it, let's say carrots, you could eat carrots raw. So even if you cook carrots, not a problem. And also, meaning it has to have two qualifications, and it has to be Oyla Shulchan Shulchan, like we mentioned before. So anything that's eaten raw or something that's not eaten raw, and it's Oyla Shulchan Shulchan, and it's used to what's called La Pesbo, it's about to eat bread with, and it was cooked by a non-Jew, or roasted by a non-Jew. Other types of cooking methods are all interesting shahs, like microwaves, a big shayla. Pashas is more room to be made, but the chatchila will machmir with that, if it's, again, something that's not edible. And zoyla shulchan shemalachim. Now, the chiddush here is, the kitzur says, that even if it's done using utensils of the Jew, meaning what's the most common shayla I probably get, is with the maid that people have, oh Hashem, people have maids in the house, and cleaning ladies, etc., and they get too friendly and too comfortable, and they start cooking for their kids too. And this is a major problem, because the kitzur has a heter because of the fact that why we lenient. This comes all the way from the Ramah already, and the reason is because it's almost impossible that in the old days in the ovens that they had, that you wouldn't stoke the fire walking by, meaning someone in the house would do so. But today it's not true. Today, no, you're not a woman, especially a cleaning lady, that decides to make an egg for your kids. That's going to be a problem. Not only is it a problem that you can't eat the eggs, there's a problem because now she cooked something that was forbidden for her to cook, and now made the pot usser. And that's why it's a good policy to basically not have your cleaning ladies cook at all or use a microwave, anything without your permission, meaning that you should turn it on, etc. Once they feel comfortable in the kitchen, it's a problem. If she's cooking for herself, like we said, this is really the next kitzur. So the kitzur really ends off, that's what we learned in Ches. It says exactly what I just said. But he says to ask a shaylas chacham. Why is that? Because there is one sheet in the Rishon that's kedai to know it many times in dire situations. So it's important to know that there is a Rishon, the Ravad. Quoted in Tesis, it says that since they live in your house, maids live in your house, so really they're not. There's no concern of chatnus of getting too close to them. Even when you marry their daughter, because they're in your house, and therefore there's room to be lenient. So it's always kedai to ask a shayla b'chatchil, like we said. Definitely, the best safeguard is that they're not cooking, or there's a clear policy that there's no way for them to cook unless you turn on the fire first. And okay, have a beautiful day.